This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This is Ray.
This is Jax.
This is Dean.
And this is the Rach Jackson Dean Podcast.
Sound really chipper.
That's weird.
Joy 94.9.
It's not J-Law, it's not J-Lo, it's Joy Law.
That's right, it is time for our regular Joy Law segment, and joining us in the studio are the team from KHQ Lawyers. It is Mon and it is Bonnie. Welcome.
Hello.
Hello, welcome back, Bonnie. We haven't seen you for a while.
Nice to be back.
And of course, Monica, you were here only, 2 weeks ago?
Yes.
The people are real.
People are very real, and they're so real they are having birthdays.
Yes.
So we want to give a big shout out
to Christina.
Whose birthday it is.
Wonderful Christina.
Has she had a
day off?
Well, her birthday was yesterday, so she's having extended celebrations.
Maybe her and Doris Day are getting kicking back.
Oh, yes.
Because Doris Day's birthday today as well.
It's Doris Day today.
She's 96. I don't think Christina's anywhere near 96.
No, oh, gosh. She can act like a 96.
Oh. Oh, hello. Shots fired.
Now, Bonnie and Mum, we want to talk today about social media and how that might play out. Lots of P's there.
What was that? What happened?
I don't know. It's when all P. Play out in social, in family courts.
When people
tweet stuff, or sometimes on Facebook, I have friends who post stuff, and I just think,
oversharing.
You could get in trouble for that.
You can absolutely get in trouble for that. So that's what we wanted to talk today, I guess, is because social media has become such a significant part of how we interrelate with our work colleagues, our family and our friends. And the legal system's really had to play catch up and has had to incorporate references to social media in various ways. And that includes, for example, how emojis might be interpreted. In addition to Facebook posts.
An emoji. So a waving face. So waving hand is not really, or a winking eye might be misconstrued.
Yeah, it's more the guns and the more violent ones that we're concerned about. But
there are some violent ones.
There are.
Gosh.
So Bonnie's going to talk about that in a sec. But, you know, the law really is starting to catch up. And one great example of that is, for example, if we can't find someone to serve them with court proceedings, we can actually do it via Facebook.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Like find my phone?
Yeah. Well, no. Yeah. Find them on Facebook. Stalk them on Facebook.
Oh. On the checked in
somewhere. Send them a message.
Yeah.
And try and serve the documents that way.
Oh, gosh. It is so integrated into our life.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so can stuff that I post to Facebook, can that actually be used in a court?
Look, it can. And there's lots of different ways that we can get, you know, different types of media and social media into court proceedings, including things like audio, video recordings. And it's becoming an increasing issue now in family law because it's so easy to pull out your iPhone, take a video, record someone, take a photo, particularly if they are behaving badly. And in many ways, that can often be your best part of evidence or even your defence if, you know, there has been a behaviour that's alleged, because it can be clear proof of what's actually occurred.
But what if it's a bit sneaky? What if you sort of did a bit of sneaky over-the-shoulder action?
That's it.
Uh-oh.
Exactly.
Is that allowed?
And that's when it becomes a problem, because if you've recorded someone with their consent, they've said, yep, that's fine, you can bring it into the court proceedings. But if you've done it without knowledge, without consent, it's been a bit sneaky, the position at first instance is you can't rely upon it. But if there are children involved, so if you've got kids involved in the dispute, the court's focused on what their best interests are. So if you can use that recording to show that we really need to look at what's happening with this child to make sure they're protected, you might be able to bring those proceedings in. It's just a matter of what weight the court will give it if they've been obtained essentially illegally, you know, behind someone's back.
But it's a bit interesting. I imagine that if I was going off like a frog in a sock and I was a bit angry, a bit agitated, and someone said, "Would you mind if I just film you?"
No, you don't ask.
I don't know that
you
I would give my consent.
You get an LED light and go, yeah, hang on, go ahead.
Hair makeup, then I'll maybe,
you just hold it out. Hold it out in front of you.
You're doing it.
They can see it's being recorded.
Well, that happens a lot on public transport.
Well,
it's true,
a lot
of hate crimes going on there and people are just documenting it.
Absolutely.
What's that? Is that intellectual property? No, is that a thing? Am I just saying
words?
Was
it privacy?
Yeah. Do we have any privacy?
Well, the cloud. Is the cloud private? That's a big question.
Oh, my God, the cloud.
The cloud. Most things are loaded to the cloud these days.
Cloud storage.
Yeah. So, look, I guess I wanted to talk about specifically how it can be referenced in the family law setting. So, a typical section in an intervention order, so we've talked about family violence previously, but there is actually a standard order in a family violence order that says you cannot publish on the internet, by email or any other electronic communication, any material about the protected person. So that's actually a standard order in intervention orders. So it's there and ingrained in that legislation. And I guess I also wanted to talk about cases around intervention orders. We've actually had a case, in fact, quite recently, where there was no physical interaction, there was no direct communication. All communication took place via Facebook and Instagram messaging, and they were able to get an intervention order based on that.
Okay.
So they weren't even within 200 metres of each other.
No.
They were just engaging, or not even engaging, just being on social media together.
Exactly.
And it can go even further than that. So we've talked about emojis, and that's becoming a new form of literacy in visual language. Mm. And it can now happen that someone does feel quite threatened simply by an emoji they've received. And there's been recent cases. There was a case in New Zealand where the judge had to consider the role of an emoji in a Facebook post. And in that case, the parties lived in separate countries, and the husband sent a text to the wife saying, "You're going to get it," and sent a little picture of an aeroplane. And the judge concluded that that was a form of him stalking her and essentially saying, "I'm going to fly over there and get you."
Yeah.
There was another case in France where the husband in that case sent a gun emoji to the wife, and he was actually imprisoned and fined because, again, she felt fearful for her safety.
So many happy marriages. That's terrible.
It is. Absolutely.
So I wonder, so the gun I get and maybe the aeroplane I get, but what if it's a sad face? Or, you know, the angry-looking face, the red-cheeked emoji face. Mm.
So it wouldn't be the emoji alone. It would be the behaviour leading up to. So it's a lot about context as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, about the dispute.
Oh.
So, look, we also, you know, LinkedIn. LinkedIn's another social media website where you can actually see when people have visited your page. So we've had a case where the client who had an intervention order against him actually checked the page, and because the wife saw it, that was considered to be a breach of the intervention order, which is quite amazing.
That's
but with LinkedIn, you can
see if people are looking at you.
Well, only if they're logged in, though. If you log out, you can go in and see.
Yeah.
Oh, Dean's behind the scenes.
Have you been doing some of that, Dean?
No, I plead the fifth. Can I plead the fifth in Australia?
I don't know. I like saying it.
Yeah, I'm going to plead the fifth anyway.
You can call 911 and get 000, so who knows?
So, look, posting photos is the biggest one. Posting photos of your kids if they're on an intervention order, or if you're saying things that include the children, that can be constituted as a breach of an order. And it's really important that you understand a breach of the order can turn into criminal proceedings and jail time.
And even though you say they're posting stuff around the kids, some people are quite prolific on Facebook and other social medias with photos of their young children.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering, in a family court situation or family dispute, that might not be appropriate.
That's right. That's right. So particularly if there's that provision I talked about in intervention orders where you can't publish on the internet by any means, that would be a direct breach. Question whether it would be a breach in a normal parenting matter. There'd have to be a restraint in place around that for it to be considered to be a breach. But the other thing that was really interesting is these Find My iPhone apps and Find My Friends, because they really can facilitate stalking.
Yes. Find My ex-partner.
You can geo-track people or whatever. You can turn on their phone.
So, you know, technology is really turning the law on its head a little bit here.
I'm feeling a bit frightened.
It scares me.
You're with Jackson Dean for the Tuesday Drive Home. It's 3 minutes to five. We're having a bit of a chat to the team from KHQ Lawyers for a little segment we like to call Joy Law. And we're talking to Bonnie and Mon about social media and the use of social media imagery or emojis in family law proceedings. But we want to talk about devices. And in fact, we've just had a message through. So it says, "Hi guys, with regards to the consent being required for the video evidence to be considered, because we're talking about you could actually film somebody having going off the nana or acting inappropriately. How does that work with car cams when you can use it to video someone to assist in perhaps an insurer accepting your claim even though you haven't gained consent of the other party?" Who wants to take that one?
I'll take that one.
Okay.
I don't see it being any different to video footage on your phone.
So if it is showing somebody being inappropriate, then it should be admissible, allowed.
Yeah, and there are ways and means to get around these things. So the first thing in the family court is if there's parenting matters and you can show it's in their best interest, then that usually gets it in. If you can otherwise show that it's a matter of fairness or it's crucial to the case and you give the other side advance notice and they've seen it before you, before a trial judge or something like that, then usually you can get that in. Other ways you can get it in is also through cross-examination. So if you ask them a question and say, did you say this at this time?
Yes.
And they say no, and you say, Your Honour, we have, you know, information that basically contradicts that. That's another way to get it in. So we're lawyers. We create loopholes wherever we go.
And certainly in terms of this message that's come through, sorry, and the person hasn't given us their name, but if you are using the car cam footage to support an insurance claim, that's probably got greater veracity than just a line drawing of where the car was compared to the other cars, you know, in a scenario.
Absolutely.
But Bonnie, tell us about devices in general. Could my phone be used in a court case?
Yeah, you can. And there's actually been instances where people have said, look, I've got a string of text messages, I've got these photos on my phone, and that will actually be tendered in court. So you can actually sometimes hand the phone up to the judge, they can have a look through it, and it can be a valuable part of the evidence.
Well, what if everyone had it on my phone to a judge to flick through my photos?
Oh, yeah.
Usually we print them off. Let's be honest. Yes. We'll print them off first.
Must be careful. But look, using the recordings in family court proceedings can really be a vital part of the evidence. And there's a few examples that we can go through, particularly with children involved.
Yeah.
So for example, in 2016, there was a case in Sydney where, quite a serious case, there'd been allegations of sexual abuse of a child. And there were recordings allowed in that case, given that it was a substantial risk to the child. In 2017, a judge also allowed evidence in to prove that someone was in a de facto relationship. They actually needed the recordings to prove one party was alleging there was no relationship, another was, and so they were allowed to get the recordings in that case as well.
So it can be used.
Can indeed.
There you go. Well, careful. Thank you so much for your time.
You can find more Joycast and show blogs. Go to joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.